Welcome back to that 590 show. Matt Berger, Matt Rocchio alongside John Giamatti Rudolph behind the dials. Joining us right now on the Belmont Automotive phone line is our friend J.J. Bailey, lead baseball writer from KMLB.com. You can follow him on Twitter at the J.J. Bailey, where he has now become the world's greatest food critic. J.J., how are you?
I'm excellent. How are you, Matt?
I can't complain. There's no cheesecake in sight, so I'm all good.
Oh, I weep for you.
Cheesecake is disgusting. I'm sorry. I just don't like cream cheese.
I'm really worried about how wrong you are about this, and it makes me question the entire nature of our relationship. How can a man with such poor judgment run a radio show?
I question that all the time, so you're fair to make that statement. I used to bounce at this bar, and the guy that was the head bartender there, he was a really good cook and a really good baker. And he one time, like for Christmas, all the people who were regular workers there, he brought them in kind of like homemade goodies for Christmas. And he brought me a homemade cherry cheesecake, and I had the heart to tell him that I couldn't stand cheesecake. So I brought it into the office the next day, and I just gave it to the people there. I didn't have the heart to tell him, look, I can't stand cheesecake. It was just too nice of a gesture.
Well, I hope you, at some point, write him a handwritten apology letter, because, I just can't possibly express how incorrect this opinion is.
Well, maybe one day. I mean, I'm 40 years old. Maybe when I'm 42, I'll grow into liking cream cheese. Kind of like whenever you're a little kid, you don't like a certain food, and eventually you start to like it. Maybe that'll happen like on my 42nd birthday.
Most kids have the good sense to like cheesecake.
Not me. Not me. When I was a kid, I couldn't stand it. My brother's the same way, too, so maybe it's a genetic thing. I don't know.
Yeah, this is a Berger family defect.
Speaking of people who are genetically gifted, Giancarlo Stanton has made quite the buzz here in Cardinal Nation, and he is coveted unlike any player I have ever seen. What do you think the realistic chances are of the Cardinals landing the right fielder from the Miami Marlins?
If I'm being honest, I think the realistic chances are one in a million. Maybe one in a billion, just because the sheer amount of contract weight you'd have to take on to get him, the fact that the team is being sold and there's so much uncertainty there, the fact that they'd be looking for a king's ransom in exchange, and then you have to factor in his opt-out. And the one thing the Cardinals don't do, well, there's several things the Cardinals don't do, but right now, if we're looking at the front office, one of the biggest things the Cardinals don't do is trade the farm for uncertainty. And there's cost control in the sense that you know what his contract is, but if he can opt out, what are you giving away the chance to essentially rent Giancarlo Stanton, a guy who is an all-world hitter, there's no doubt about it, but is a mortal lock to miss at least 20 games a year with an injury, and a guy that with any reasonable expectation could absolutely leave the franchise in a couple of and go on and make somebody else a contender. I just think the cost per acquisition for Giancarlo Stanton is way, way too high, especially given the level of uncertainty that the Cardinals would have with him, both in injury and the fact that you could ship everybody out and still end up without Giancarlo Stanton in a couple of years.
Oh, well, the contract, the opt-out, is in 2020. And do you think he would opt out of a contract that big?
He might. Because if he has a few good years, I mean, revenue is going up in baseball, despite what they tell you and despite how the league is struggling and everything else. Next year, the Cardinals kick in a $1 billion TV deal with Fox Sports Midwest. Money is going up. You know, franchises in sports aren't in the business of losing money. They're in the business of generating more revenue. And this is a guy that could hit 40 home runs for a few years and then opt out and get an even bigger deal. And especially if he ends up with a Max Scherzer-style deal with the Nationals where they defer payment and, you get paid for 10 years at the back end at $15 million a year, which allows the franchise to move a little bit of money around, he could absolutely end up with a bigger deal restructured, and the Cardinals could be left holding the bill, essentially, for I don't know how many prospects and major leaguers it would take to get him, and I don't understand why he would be the primary target. I understand that he's young and you can build a team around him, but you have a handful of guys coming up in free agency at the end of 2018 that at this point, the only cost for acquisition is cash. Cash that the Cardinals will have.
Sure.
And have in a way that the franchise has never had before. And it's really, really hard for me to justify hemorrhaging assets and cash to get Giancarlo Stanton when he can leave the franchise if he wants to, when you're staring down a Manny Machado or a Bryce Harper, where as of right now, the only reason you wouldn't be able to sign them if you didn't have the money. And they have the money.
I would rather have Manny Machado as opposed to Giancarlo Stanton. And I guess that the only the real issue is that if you're waiting for someone like a Manny Machado or a Bryce Harper to get to free agency, is that it's not a sure thing that you're going to be able to sign him because you're competing with everybody else. If you make the trade,
right,
then you for sure have him for, you know, forever how long the contract is. In the case of Manny Machado, you're only going to have him for maybe a year, and that's it. So you got to try to either convince him that this is a place that he wants to stay and sign him to a long-term deal while you have him for that year or so that's left on his remaining contract. And like with Giancarlo Stanton, I understand what you're saying about him opting out in 2020, but I mean, he's not the kind of caliber player, I don't think he is, that Bryce Harper is or that Manny Machado is, where he can command, you know, like a $400 or even a $500 million contract.
No, I think that if you're the Cardinals and you're looking at heading into that free agency signing period, you're going to have to steel yourself because you're going to be spending $350 million plus, $400 million plus to get some of these guys. But these are the type of guys that are worth it. And these are the type of guys that the organization has not had since Albert Pujols left. And these are the type of problems that the Cardinals need to solve. Because right now they're looking at a team of guys who look great in suits, but no James Bond. And if they're really going to start building their team, you have to look at 2019. And once 2019 comes around, that's after the free agent class of perhaps a the greatest free agent class in sports history, it's the market. And if the Cardinals already have tied up all of their money in Giancarlo Stanton and are betting on a long-term extension or possibly a renegotiation or just him not opting out, there's very little they can do in that period. And the Cardinals have a lot of problems that need solving, and they're going to need some flexibility to do so. And if they get rid of all of their prospects in exchange for Giancarlo Stanton, they're pretty much tied to that guy, that bat, that injury history. It's very, very hard to see how they can maneuver themselves into a long-term competitive position if they've tied up all of their capital in Giancarlo Stanton and have very little in the farm because they had to give it away to get it.
Do you think that the way that the Cardinals have always done business, which is, you know, never overspend, find the right player, bring them in, show them how great the organization is, show them how great the fans are, the tradition of winning, and basically have that player fall in love with the situation and not take more money to go to a worse organization that doesn't always have the chance to win. Do you think the way that the Cardinals have always done business, do you think that translates to today's athlete?
No, I don't.
I don't think it does either.
I think the proof is there. They weren't able to bring Jason Hayward back. They weren't able to entice David Price. I had whispers in my ear that even 24 hours before Luis Robert signed, the Cardinals were the front runner, that they had made the offer and it looked like he was going to win it. And they lost all of those guys. I think that worked for a time where you're selling them on a tradition, you're selling them on a culture of winning, and you're selling them on being part of one of the premier franchises in baseball. That strategy pretty clearly has not worked because they've been tied to a lot of major players and have come up short and a lot of times second in the running. And this is not to say anything negative of Luis Robert, but like when you signed with the Chicago White Sox over the St. Louis Cardinals, it wasn't just money and it wasn't just prestige. There was something about it that made you want to go there instead. And the Cardinals can no longer bank on the, you know, blue chip name of the St. Louis Cardinals anymore. They're going to have to reevaluate how they pursue this kind of talent because I don't think that there's anything left in the tank there for them to draw. Now it's money, now it's options, now it's structures, and they're going to have to start playing the game that a lot of these teams have played for a while. How do I create the most attractive situation? They're not necessarily the prettiest girl at the dance anymore. And so it's time to find out how they court these free agents because they can't rely on their tried and true strategy anymore. They'll always be competitive. It's not, they're never going to beat the 76ers. They're not going to have a teardown. But sooner or later, they're going to have to prove that they can hang in 2017 and 2018 and 2019 because the system doesn't work the same way anymore.
You and I may not agree on Cheesecake, but we're in complete and total lockstep there because I disagree with everything that you've said. And I think what we're going to see in Major League Baseball is kind of like what you're seeing in the NBA, where a lot of these players, young, especially younger players, they don't want to play in smaller cities. They want to play in bigger metropolitan areas. So that's going to be Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, Miami. They're going to want to play in bigger areas.
Yeah, and you're going to have to attract these. And you're not Chicago, and you're not New York, and you're not Miami, and so you know that if you're St. Louis, you're a city buried in the middle of the Midwest. Okay, so how do you attract them? Well, it used to be the prestige of the franchise, but athletes are smart enough now to learn that the prestige of the franchise is a fleeting thing. You know, the teams that people fall in love with aren't always the same teams every year. So you have to sell them maybe on a culture, or maybe on the fact that if you want to win a World Series, this is where you got to come. And that's where they're looking right now. And that's why I just have a hard time imagining them pulling a few minor trades and then going into this free agency period for the ages at the end of 2018 in a position of strength. They're going to have to completely shake up the game board and look at it from the perspective of how in the world can we convince Manny Machado to come here? And the best chip they have to play is, we can make a World Series. And so you have to have a team in place that can make a World Series. And you can't do that if you completely gut your minor league system in a trade for someone in 2017. The window's not there for them to win. So right now, they have to convince themselves it's absolutely worth it to open the checkbook and build a team that looks like they can compete for the NL pennant for 3 to 5 years. And they can do it, but they can't do it if they trade for, like, a Josh Donaldson right now. And they certainly can't do it if they trade for a Giancarlo Stanton in 2017 and end up looking at 2019 with no chips to play.
Everything I'm hearing about Manny Machado is that he's a young player, but he's more of an old-school type player where he's not interested in what the nightlife in the city is going to be or anything like that. Manny Machado just wants to win. He wants to play on a winning team, so I think that's going to be the Cardinals' maybe biggest advantage there, is that if I'm John Mozeliak, and let's say you're going to, or the new GM, if you're going to sit down with Manny Machado, you're going to bring in Yadier Molina, and you're going to have Yadi explain to him, hey, you know what? Forget about any kind of public perception that you may have about the city of St. Louis. I've played here my entire career, and I am beloved there. Never had any instances or anything like that. And basically sell him on that, too, the selling tradition of winning and how he would be adored here in St. Louis if he were to be, you know, just an overall great player as he has been.
Well, and I mean, Albert Pujols is another guy you could point to.
Another one as well. You know, but, I mean, like, guys, unfortunately, he's no longer with the organization, so you're going to have to bring Yadi.
True.
No question.
And won in a landslide. And that's kind of the point. It's like, look, if you're a great baseball player, this town will love you forever. And that's what you're selling. You're selling an atmosphere of adoration, and you're selling a chance to win. The problem is, it's very, very hard to make a convincing pitch for a chance to win when you're looking at this team right now, and it'd be much, much harder if you hemorrhaged all these guys that have shown real promise in the minors for a chance to maybe compete for the division in 2017, but later make it impossible to court a guy like Manny Machado. This is a team that is in transition right now, and if it's me in the front office, I'm looking at 2017 and 2018 as, quote, transitional years, but we're making our play for 2019, and you got to look at who sets you up the best for that window. And I don't think anybody that you can trade for right now sets you up the best. I think the best is small moves, nurture your homegrown talent, and then go out and get that cornerstone in free agency.
JJ Bailey, thank you for your time this evening, sir. You are the very best, even though you like cheesecake and you hate Danny LaRusso. So, those, I mean, I won't hold those two strikes against you. Enjoy your weekend, sir.
You as well.
Thank you, JJ. That is JJ Bailey, lead baseball writer for KMOV.com. You can follow him on Twitter at the JJ Bailey. Let's take a commercial break. And then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by professional boxer Chris Van Heerden. on the Belmont Automotive phone line right here on that 590 show, 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.